This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
I do want to get into the or question we set up here, but has the 1-2 start forced you to re-examine what you think the outcome of this year is going to be?
I would venture to say yes right now, because when you come into the season looking what the Browns were looking like, their defense was supposed to be intact. It was supposed to be extremely strong. Offensively, you go out and you make a couple acquisitions, but you didn't know what you were going to get from Deshaun Watson just yet because of his injury. So now looking at it, you're supposed to beat up on the woefully Giants, you know, and unfortunately it doesn't happen. So now you're 1-2 going into this weekend against the Raiders, and this is a scary scenario. Do you look at it and say, okay, if we're 1-3, do we pack it in? If we can get to 2-2, it's a better spot.
Well, and it doesn't help that you're playing against Gardner Minshew, who last year looked like Michael Vick. Like, listen, Gardner has cooked a couple teams through the air. He cooked you on the ground and the air through with the RPO concept. So I think that's probably fresh in the minds of most Browns fans as well.
Yeah, and that's scary right there, right? You have somebody that can run an offense really nice. But you also look at what they did last weekend, too. They were supposed to beat up on a team that probably should not be in the NFL right now. But right now, both teams 1-2, you have to go out and look at it that if the Browns can win on the road, which is very hard to do in the NFL at times, that would be a huge momentum swing for the Browns.
So most years, if you start 1-2, no matter the context, I'm like, it's 3 weeks, right? Like, what the hell are we doing? What I think makes this a little more alarming actually has nothing to do with Deshaun. It's where the injuries are. Last year, I know you lost Nick Chubb last year. Guys, it's an elite running back. We're not talking about an elite pass rusher. We're not talking about, you know, I think Amari had a nice game this last year, but his separation numbers are concerning. Now you've lost Wyatt Teller. So you're guaranteed to have turnover on that offensive line. You're without, who knows what's going on with Jed. And then you've got, is Jack Conklin back? And so the injuries aren't hitting like your depth guys. Hitting your frontline guys. And early in the season, sometimes you can just out-talent everybody. Well, if your best players, and the Browns are still a talented team. Let's not get it twisted. They're still the team that went to the playoffs last year with five different quarterbacks, one of whom was Deshaun Watson, although I know we don't like to point that out. So at the same point, this is the time of year where you can sneak a few games just on talent alone. So I don't think it means I'm not ready to reorganize. I'm not ready to say, well, all right, they're an 8-win team if we look at the first three games. Because it's the first 3 weeks of football. It's not supposed to look pretty. It's not looking pretty around football in general. I mean, offense is down. Turnovers are up. There's so many things that go into this that aren't just in Cleveland. But I get it, man. Like, I'll be honest with you, this week it kind of hinges on that. Being able to take on the Raiders and get a win is not only crucial, but you fall to 1-3. It's just going to be a tough sell into October trying to find those next few wins, knowing that that's when the gauntlet starts.
Yeah, if you go 1-3, you know, you're looking at a very uphill climb, especially against the Ravens and the Steelers right now. I think the keys right now going into this weekend, though, is you look at Deshaun Watson. Can he get off the snide a little bit and get the ball out as quickly as possible? Can he read his checks? Can the offensive line just hold just long enough for him to get rid of the ball? And then on the defensive side, you want to make sure that Myles Garrett is as healthy as possible and that you count on him as well, because he is the best player on that defensive line.
So do you agree with me or disagree with me on this? I was surprised after the way they got the crap kicked out of them on Sunday. I was surprised we didn't see, I mean, I know they just bumped up Jermaine Ifedi to the roster. I was surprised we didn't see more roster churn with how disappointing the performance was. And a lot of it was focus, confidence, playing like a team that had been there, playing like a veteran team. I'd be really surprised if you get through September 1-3. I don't know if it's you trade for somebody. I don't know if it's you just cut somebody. If you go 1-3 in September, I mean, it's not Deshaun. Deshaun's not getting benched. That's not where this thing's going. But do I think there could be some other guys whose jobs all of a sudden are in danger, starting with like a guy like MJ Emerson, starting with maybe Ethan Posick? Yeah. Like I think we're there if you lose this game, or even if you win an uninspiring game, I think you gotta start making some moves here. Not panic moves, but moves to let everybody, to basically wake that damn locker room up.
If you go 1-3, there's going to be some jobs on the line for sure. You know, and at that same point, as a pro player, you have to take the pride to make sure that you're doing what you're supposed to be doing out on the field, in the locker room, in the film room. If you go 2-2, I think everybody stays status quo. I think when you look at this right now, you go 2-2, you come back, September's out of the way, you get a couple guys, you know, that are banged up right now, not so much that are injured, but that are banged up, and you get them healthy. Yeah, then you look into October and you say, okay, can we get above 500? You get above 500, now you're going in the right direction. And little by little, that team can start to gel in the locker room. And that's all that's going to matter. If you can gel in the locker room, you're going to have a good sense.
So one of the things we talked about early in the show with the Miles news, and again, there's a lot of ambiguity here. So we've cleared it. We are not doctors. I've never played doctors on TV. Although for the right amount of money, I would do it, right? As a matter of fact, for the right amount of money, there's not a lot I wouldn't do. Nick Wilson can be bought. Put that out. Let the streets know that Nick Wilson can be bought and very easily. But at the same point, we talked about, does there come a point where if Miles is truly dealing with feet injury to both feet and the thigh and the Achilles, what is the, what's the math that goes into this? Obviously, this is predicated on can it get better by rest, which is the we don't know. But if you're dealing with some sort of tendonitis or something related with Achilles, I would imagine rest would help. But I will say, I think that is one of the things that the deeper you get into these next three games, I think it's critical. Because I think if you're losing and Miles is playing through injuries, I'm sorry, at what point are you doing a disservice to that player? If he's in constant pain, if you don't go to him and go, listen, we love you, but we're not winning right now. We need to get you healthy so you can be the 100% dominant Miles. Like that's, I don't know that this game specifically rides on it, but I look at the next three games and I'm like, if by Philly it continues to get worse and worse and you're not winning, I'm not doing this to a guy. He means too much to the next 5 years of Browns football. That's where we are with the next three games for the Cleveland Browns and the importance of winning.
And I think from Miles' standpoint, you know, as a player, he has to understand the longevity of this. You know, we talk about the Achilles side of it. You know, what's the severity of it? We don't know that. He didn't practice today, you know, so he took some time off to heal, to rest, to get whatever treatment he needs. And ultimately, this is a big game. This is a teetering game for the Browns right now to say, okay, if Miles is going to play, what level of capacity is he at? Is he at 90%? Is he at 80%? As a fan, do we want him to be at 80% playing? You know, for me personally, I want my players to be out there that can compete. Miles is one of those guys that you need out there to compete.
So I think I might be the person that disagrees with this. And this is more about positional importance than it is. I know how important Miles is to this team. I know that he's a unicorn, but I think in the pre-show we were talking about this, and I think both you and Keith said, I think Miles is more important than Deshaun. And I've thought about it a lot. I don't think I agree. Because at the end of the day, because it's not just about Deshaun, his importance to the team and winning. One, it's tough to sit in successive seasons winning with a backup. Two, I wouldn't wish this situation with where the O-line is on any backup. If anyone's going to be able to make, you know, chicken salad out of chicken scratch, it's going to be the guy that 5 years ago was one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL. And the other thing is, I don't think we really know what this team would do without Miles. So I think there's this assumption they'd fall apart without Miles for a short term. I think you fall apart long term with any great player missing. I think you're selling a locker room short there.
Yeah, I don't know which way to take that right now, only because both players are huge. You need Deshaun Watson on the offensive side to get back to Deshaun Watson. But at the same time, for me, if you don't have Miles Garrett, though, and you look at this defense, I'm not going to say they're in disarray by any means, but they're not playing up to their standard, what we saw last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's the scary situation for me. You lose a guy like this just for a couple games, not because he's injured, but because you hear that Achilles name. That's the scary portion of it.
So for me, and maybe some of this in the back of my mind, in 216-474-0092, would Miles, if you lost him for any number of time, would that be a bigger loss than Deshaun? Because I think, I don't mean this in a bad way. I think saying that it would be is almost the easy way out. It's just another way to kind of ding Deshaun on the way. I just don't think that a starting quarterback, I don't think an edge rusher is more important than a starting quarterback when it comes to wins and losses. And some of this is, if I have to put in Obo Okoronkwo as the other edge rusher, am I concerned that there's a very clear drop from one guy to another? Of course. But Obo's still a guy who's had 5, 6, 7 sacks in a season. So you're still going to get some production out of that. And remember, Miles Garrett doesn't play 100% of the snaps anyway, because Jim Schwartz's philosophy is you're going to play him 65, 70, 75% of the time and 25% rest. And as I would say, was it week one or week two where I think Miles didn't come into the game till third downs at certain points in that game because he was dealing with a foot. So Jim likes to kind of mix up his rotations. And the reason why I bring that up is Deshaun touches that ball 100% of the time. So while some people might just be like, okay, so I'm going to get rid of an elite edge rusher, or I can get rid of a quarterback that I don't really fully trust, that's not where we are. We're talking about a guy that is, you're trying to build this offense around. And I just think quarterbacks in general are more valuable than pass rusher, especially if on one side of the ball, you're already struggling.
Well, how about we flip the script here and say if the offense can stay on the field longer, then it also helps the defense a little bit more, you know, because like you're mentioning, Nick, how Miles Garrett hasn't played a whole lot of snaps early in the season, and now he's working his way back in, knowing that he has 2 foot issues, he has a thigh issue, he has an Achilles issue. So if that's the case, if the offensive line can do their part, if Deshaun Watson can manipulate what he needs to do as a quarterback, keep that side of the ball on the field, give them some long sustained drives, be able to put some points up. Now that's going to give the defense more rest. They're going to be in a better situation. And I think ultimately that gains some credibility for both sides.
You know, it's funny you were saying that, because what an unlocked is, you are supposed to have an elite cornerback room. And so the other way to look at this is, if you don't have an elite pass rusher up front, or if it's a pass rush by committee, the best friend you can have to not having Miles Garrett is great cover.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join MIDI.com.
For corners, which you do have. the best friend you can have if your quarterback is out is a great run game. You don't have that. And even when Nick Chubb comes back, and they're not bringing the run fits back from last year. So and by the way, he's also coming off his second knee injury. I know why you say Miles. I totally get it. I'm not trying to dog Miles in any way. But I do think they have the recipe that even if Miles has to go out for a little bit, you can maintain that. With Deshaun, the recipe right now is you don't have an elite run game. You don't have a great pass rush. If I think it only gets worse from here if you were missing Deshaun for a week or two. I think right now Deshaun actually, despite still not playing up to the $230 million, might actually be more important to you than Myles Garrett, which is wild to think about. But at least on defense, you've got those safety valves. On offense, you got nothing right now. It's that dude makes enough plays to win like he did in Jacksonville or nothing. If there's a moment where the Achilles becomes a real concern, if you put him out there and he tears that thing, you are going to hear it from me if you were the Cleveland Browns. Real quick, though, we got Mike calling in. Mike, thank you for calling in for today's show. What you got for us, buddy?
Yeah, Nick, I agree with you. It's a no-brainer, you know, especially with the – I definitely would prefer to be without Mr. Myles Garrett this week in spite of the fact that he's a, you know, game wrecker at times. He's not 100%. If this season's going to be salvaged, it's going to look like, you know, we're going to have to fix the offensive line first, or it doesn't really matter. God, I wish we had Bill Callahan. I tell you, I knew when he went to go with his son that it was going to be a big problem, and man, oh, man. Because I think a lot of the injuries are happening because guys are in the wrong spot. They're not, and I don't mean it's just, it's a complex problem that they've got going on. It's only getting worse. And, you know, we need a guy running around. That is Deshaun, and although ugly it is, you know, game this week, that's our better shot. And I agree with you. We got a lot in that defensive line. Let him get some extra minutes, make the rotation a little deeper. And when Miles comes back healthy, we got our offense in shape. Then we can make a run. Without it, we don't anyways.
Mike, that's all I got. Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you so much. So here's the thing. I don't know whether we can pin this on Andy Dickerson specifically. It's more about the importance of continuity with Bill Callahan. It's less that I don't know that this guy can coach or, you know, can coach or whatever, because it's unfair. It's 3 weeks. Who the hell knows? But you and I would feel totally different if Bill was still here. That's about Bill. That's not about Andy.
If Bill Callahan was still here, I think more so you would have that grittiness again. That I think that's what the team's lacking right now, right? That guy that's going to push the right buttons, that needs his team to go out there and compete at a high level. That's the scary issue right now.
So we've got to give an update here, because on yesterday's show, Keith told a story that he was in his parking garage and there was somebody who backed into a parking spot that was literally the wrong direction for them to do that. They basically had to make a 270-degree turn. In the process, he hit the other person's car and then corrected, finished parking, looked around to see if anybody saw and went to walk away. And Keith was like, "You gonna tell anybody?" And the guy's like, "Oh, yeah." And Keith's like, "Okay, because I'm going to take a picture of your and their car and let everybody know where if you don't, you know, where they can find you." Well, yesterday we asked everybody on the Afternoon Drive Twitter poll at Afternoon 923 FAN, if you were in the same situation, would you tell? Basically, would you inform somebody, or would you let everybody know what happened? 51.5% of people saying yes, they would, of 522 votes. 48.5%, very conditional, and that's where I am. I am conditional there, Jason. It depends on my mood. It depends on who hit it. If it's a little old person, I'm just going to let them walk on. They're old. They've earned the right to ding somebody's car and not tell a damn person. And if they're an a-hole, I'm going to rat on them twice. Like, that's just, I'm very much a sliding scale or a bell curve of how I make decisions, and it does involve my feelings on other people.
What if it's a hottie, though?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Hot people get passes, man. Listen, I'm not going to act like I'm above that. Like, well, she's attractive. She had other things on her mind. Of course she hit that car. Of course, you too, right?
I don't know about this. I'm on the fence of this one right here because it's in a parking garage. Typically, nobody would see this. Mm-hmm. Somehow, some way, Keith finds it and sees it, and he's like, "You better make sure that you put some type of sticky note on that car, because I will rat you out."
So just to be clear, Are you a yes, or are you more where I am conditionally?
I'm a yes.
Okay.
I'm a yes 100% on this one. So I'm part of that 51%. I'm a little skewed, though, on that 48%. I would like to know the reasons behind it. I know your reasons.
Yeah.
You know, if they're hot,
yeah.
Hall pass all day long.
And by the way,
if it's an old lady, all day long.
It doesn't just have to be, like, if they're just an objectively pleasant-looking man. Well, you know what? He's got things to do. Here's the thing. I don't know you enough yet to call you out on this. Just know, 3 months from now, you're in on another show. I might be a little, I don't know you to call the bluff here. I'll accept your yes on face value, but what's the update on this,
well,
Keith?
There was a note on the car when I saw it last night. I went to the garage after the show and get in my truck, and that same car, the one that got hit, was still there. The other one was gone. But there was a note left under the windshield wiper.
Did you read it?
I did not open it. I was not going to approach the car and make it seem like I'm the one that put the note there.
So
the
that's a reach too far?
But what if that person came to the car while I was pulling the note off it, and then they think that I was the one responsible
for
it?
You bullied an adult.
Yes,
you bullied an adult who's doing
did,
the right thing.
But I bullied an adult that was doing a very stupid thing.
Yes.
Because had it just, I get your point with like old people or something like that, but typically
hot
that's,
people.
Typically
hot
that's
women.
Like an excusable accident. Like they didn't obviously mean to hit. This was just being an idiot. Like he was backing in, and when you do stupid things, and I don't just sit and watch people park. When you're parallel parking, that's a different story. I love to watch people try to parallel park.
I don't want you to feel the judgment here. I just think it's a weird line to draw a line in the sand. It's like the meatloaf. I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Like I'm gonna tell you to your face. I will snitch on you if you don't do the right thing, and then you just trust this guy who could not be trusted to leave a note in the first place. You trusted that the note wasn't just like screw the guy in a pickup truck on the next level up.
I did my part.
I think if you're gonna, you got to go 100% of the way. Just go over, peep. All right, is it actually...
Okay, but what was I going to do even if it didn't say anything? What am I going to do?
You're going to go back to the people and you're going to snitch on them. Isn't that the point?
But I have the picture still. I showed you the picture.
Well, yeah, but my point is, if the person left a blank note because they're calling your bluff, you got to go double check, right? Because you've already gone 90% of the way. Now you got to go the extra 10% because if they did call your bluff and it was just basically...
I already notified the people at the garage that, hey, be on the lookout. If somebody asks who hit their car, I've got it.
I don't think you get to have a line in the sand if you're Mr. Morals. I'm just going to say that. I love that you jammed him up. It is the most key thing in the world that you jammed him up.
I actually looked back at the picture again last night just to see the face of the guy. Just to look at the face on the guy. He was absolutely in shock
but
that somebody said that.
The fact that then you were like, well, I can trust him that he actually left his information and that he wasn't. Like, if the dude was willing to walk away and totally lie about this, who says?
I'm going to show the picture to Jason right now. I'm going to come in there and show him because I want him to say on a level of 1 to 10 how scared this guy was.
All right. Yeah, because you're an Adonis. Like, this was like a little nerd. This dude looked like he weighed like 160 pounds. He looked like one of Keith's biceps.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Yeah. I guarantee you, I'm just going to say right now, all due respect to Keith, if that dude looked like me, you're not. And you again, you don't know
I'd still
know
said
me.
Something to you, Nick. Not
no.
scared.
No, you're not afraid of me because I'm the biggest wuss on the planet.
It's true.
It is established that I'm a baby. But if you see some big 6'4", 350-pound biker-looking dude, there's no way you're saying anything.
Oh, I like this one now because I'm going to agree with Nick on this one where if the person is 6'4", 6'5", about 215, 230, just yoked out, or you have this gentleman that I just saw, which one are you going to do, Keith?
Yeah.
I'm still saying something.
Oh, no. Dude, I am the guy that looks like the biker, and I'm not saying it. Sir, that was a great job parking. Thumbs up. Hope you enjoyed your stay at Rikers.